Text for our sermon this morning, our gospel reading from Luke 15, especially these words. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and felt compassion, and ran and embraced him and kissed him. So far, text. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. There is a tension in this parable, the parable of the forgiving father, because it's about the father, it's not about the son. Jesus told two parables right before this in Luke 15, and they're ones that I think you probably know. They go like this. A shepherd had 100 sheep, and he loses one of them. Does he not leave the 99 in the open country and go looking for the one that is lost? And when he finds it, he puts it on his shoulders. He comes back home rejoicing. He calls all of his friends and family and neighbors together, saying, "Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep that was lost." The second parable goes like this. A woman had 10 silver coins, and she loses one of them. Does she not sweep the entire house and look for it until she finds it? And when she finds it, she calls together all of her friends and neighbors and relatives, says, "Rejoice with me, I have found my coin that was lost." In those first two parables, there's no tension. Something is lost. It's found. But in the parable of the forgiving father, well, there's a little bit of tension. There's some tension there with the younger son. You know how the parable goes. He goes to his father and says, "Father, I wish you were dead, and more than that, let's say that you are. Enact the will now, and give me my inheritance now. We'll never have to deal with each other ever again." What tension right there. What son would do that? And for those listening to the parable for the first time, they probably thought the father would say, "Absolutely not, son. We will not pretend like I'm dead, for I am alive, but I'm still your father." But the father doesn't say that. Father agrees to act as if he's dead. And he gives his son the boy's half of the inheritance. And you know exactly what the boy does. He goes and wastes it all. He has nothing left. And as Jesus says, he begins to be in need. I don't think that's because he is without money. It's because he's not with the father. He's away from his loving, caring father. That's why he's in need. And he begins to come to himself as he's there feeding the pigs in the yard. And he says, "Don't my father's hired servants have more than enough?" And he makes up this elaborate apology speech. He's got it all planned out and it's all prepared. His father sees him. Now you can picture the scene, can't you? A big manor house in a long lane with many other houses of the servants along that lane. And chances are they all knew what the son did. You can't keep gossip quiet in a place like that. They knew that the younger son had wanted his father dead. They knew that he had taken everything and left in a huff. They knew it. And no doubt they talked about it behind the father's back. And so when they see the son at the end of the long lane, what's the father going to do? If I was him, I'd kick him out, right? He doesn't deserve to come back. He wants his father dead, and he said, "Let's act like it, Dad. He's got no business being here." But the father doesn't do that. This is, after all, the parable of the forgiving Father. The Father within himself feels compassion. There's the center of the parable. It all hinges right there on what the Father feels. Compassion. He's felt compassion for his son the whole parable, hasn't he? As the son wanted him dead, the father felt compassion for him. As the son took everything and left, the father felt compassion for him. And now as he's back, the father feels no different. Compassion. He runs down the lane. In the first century, for a grown man to run was a symbol of humiliation. They didn't do it. But this father does. He humbles himself to run to his son, to take him back before that boy can say anything. Before that elaborate apology speech is spoken, the father takes him back. And there is much joy. The parable ended there. What a parable it would be. Everything tied up neatly and nicely, like the parable of the lost sheep or the parable of the lost coin. Everything's wrapped up perfectly. The son is back home. Everybody's happy. The whole world is good. But Jesus doesn't do that. There's tension in this parable. The older son, who'd been there the whole time, hears the party going on, and he is deeply offended. Well, he's always been deeply offended, hasn't he? That offensive, terrible, horrible, disgusting younger son. He won't even call him a brother. Younger son. He wanted dad dead. Offensive that was. And he went and wasted everything. How horrible that was. And the older boy knows. He can imagine. He can picture what that younger son was doing. All the horrible things he wasted the money on, whether it was true or not, he doesn't care. He knows that that younger boy does not deserve to be welcomed. Only those who work, only those who struggle and toil, only they deserve to be sons of the Father. Only he's the only one righteous and holy enough to be the Father's son. And so he will not go in and celebrate and be glad. What does the Father feel? Compassion for this older boy. Son, everything I have is yours. But it was fitting for us to celebrate and be glad. But that younger son was dead, was alive, lost, was found. You see what the parable means? Begin there at the beginning. And the Pharisees and scribes were grumbling that Jesus was eating with tax collectors and sinners. They are the older boy. The younger boy is not you. It's the sinners who Jesus was eating with. They are the younger son. They knew that they had wasted everything in sinful living, and they came back with that elaborate apology speech to their father. And before they said anything, Jesus welcomed them back and forgave them and was rejoicing with them. That's the way Jesus is. He is the forgiving Father. You see, this is not so much about the boys, but about the Father. It's about the Father's love and mercy, his unmerited compassion that he has on both of these boys. He has on you as well. The tension of this parable is, Are you in or are you out? Are you in the festival with Jesus? Are you eating at the Master's table? Is Jesus rejoicing over you, or is he begging you to come back to rejoice with sinners? Dear friends, this parable continues today. Jesus still eats and drinks with sinners. He still gives them his word, his table fellowship ministry. It continues here every single Sunday morning that Jesus comes and eats with us sinners. Our forgiving Father forgives our sins. This fellowship is for you, for everyone who's far off. Here you are in the Father's house. How glad he is that you are here, that your sins are forgiven. Can you see Jesus rejoicing, smiling? How glad that father was when he ran down the lane and welcomed that younger son. That is how glad he is every time that you are in his word, that you are receiving his body and blood. How Jesus rejoices over you. The tension of this parable is resolved only in the character of the Father. As he has mercy upon us, as he welcomes us sinners home, humiliating himself to die upon the tree for your sins. He welcomes you home, forgives you, brings out the best for you, because you are his own dear child. In his name, amen.